The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
How should the gospel be presented? Can a person who adds to believing in Jesus still be saved? What are some of the things that get added? And we'll also look at the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. So glad you've joined us today here on Grace in Focus. This is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. We'd love you to know us better. And you can do that by going to our website, faithalone.org. There you will find our magazine, Grace in Focus. It has a free subscription. All you have to do is sign up for it. And you only have to pay postage if you live outside of the 48 contiguous United States. It's a great magazine, published 6 times a year, full color, great articles. And it's free. Find out more, get signed up at faithalone.org. Now with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Mike Lee.
All right, today, Bob, we have a question here from Taylor.
Is this Taylor Swift? No, it's not Taylor Swift.
It is Taylor S., so I'll leave it at that.
All right.
If a person believes in faith for salvation and eternal security, but they also believe they must admit they are a sinner, and also that you have to ask God to save you, then is that person saved?
Now, this is a good question, Taylor, and this kind of thing comes up a lot. And it's the idea of someone who does believe in Jesus for what he promises, everlasting life, but they say you also must believe or do something else. So there are people who believe that by faith in Jesus, they have everlasting life, and they're believing in him for everlasting, but they also believe you must believe in his deity, death, and resurrection, right? Don't you call such people focus free grace?
Yeah, as long as, you know, what else they think they must also believe doesn't contradict believing in Jesus for everlasting life. I mean, even for myself, for example, I'd say you have to believe Jesus is a real person in addition to believing in him for everlasting life. And so, but that truth doesn't contradict the saving message. But there are certain propositions that do contradict. For example, you can't believe that you have to work your way to heaven and at the same time believe in Jesus for everlasting life. You can't believe those two beliefs at the same time.
So if you believe that by believing in Jesus, I'm saved for now, but in order to keep it, I've got to persevere in good works, that would be contradictory to believing in him for everlasting life.
Yeah, you can't believe those two things at the same time. Yeah,
right. But you could believe that by faith in Jesus, I'm saved forever, and then later on believe I've got to persevere, so you would lose your assurance, but you'd remain saved.
Yeah, once you believe in Jesus for an eternally secure salvation, he never goes back on that promise, even if you end up stopping believing that promise.
All right, but what if someone like Taylor's asking, okay, let's break down the different things Taylor's saying, and I don't know if Taylor's a guy or a gal, because that name goes both ways. But let's say that a person believes they have to ask for salvation, but they also believe that by faith in Jesus, they have everlasting life. Would that person be saved? It seems to me that's kind of something which those two things don't go together, do they? I mean, if I'm convinced that by faith in Jesus, I have everlasting life, then I don't think I need to ask for it, do I?
Yeah, I mean, if you already have it, we only ask for things we don't have, right? You know, when we make a Christmas list at Christmas, I don't think kids put on their toys they already have. They put on things that they want and they know they don't have. Yeah,
right.
So I'm not sure. I guess you would have to say, like, this sounds like the person's a little bit confused, and I think they probably just need to be sorted out that you don't get saved by asking. You get saved by believing.
Now, Taylor, I think it would be accurate to say it's okay to say that we ask God to give us the saving message, right?
Right.
So if I'm confused, I mean, that's what happened to me. A friend came and said, is it possible your view of the gospel is wrong? And I prayed about it and asked God to show me, because maybe I was wrong. And so show me if I'm wrong. And Jesus did say, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you'd ask him and he would give you the living water. The living water is the saving message. Well, he wasn't saying ask to be saved. He was saying ask for the living water, ask for the saving message. And so I would say, Taylor, that I don't think it's possible at the same time to believe that I'm saved because I have faith in Jesus and I've got to ask for it.
Yeah.
Or that I had to ask in advance of it. unless the asking was for the saving message. So I would say that part doesn't fit. And what was the other part of what Taylor was asking?
Yeah, whether you have to admit that you're a sinner.
Okay, so admitting you're a sinner, it seems to me, is something which is consistent with believing in him for everlasting life, but it's not something separate. In other words, is it possible that a person wouldn't even be thinking about whether they're a sinner or not when they believe the promise of John 3:16? Yeah, I would think so. I mean, when Jesus talks to Nicodemus in John 3, he doesn't bring up sin at all.
Right. But he does bring up his need of, he lacks everlasting life.
Right.
And I think a lot of times people think this admitting a sinner is really to just get them to admit, well, you don't have salvation. You don't have everlasting life. You need it. And
right.
So if it's understood that way, I mean, I don't think we have a huge problem with that. It's just, in the end, to believe in Jesus for everlasting life, you need to know you don't have it until you believe in him for it.
Right.
Right.
I mean, even in John 4 with the woman at the well, Jesus doesn't bring up sinfulness
no.
other than to say you've had five husbands and the one you're living with is not your husband. So is he bringing that up to show her she's a sinner? No, he's bringing it up to show her that he knows all things and that he's the Messiah, because she later said, we know when Messiah comes, he'll reveal all things to us. And he says, I who speak to you am he. At that point, she leaves the old religion behind, the old water behind, and she goes and takes the living water to the men of the village and says, this man told me all things about myself. Could this be the Messiah?
Mm-hmm.
So she's linking the Messiah with knowing all things. That's why he revealed this. If a person recognizes their need of everlasting life, regardless of what gets them there, certainly recognizing I'm a sinner and I fall short of the glory of God is a great way. I personally have a problem with people who lead with you're a sinner and you're a bad person and you're this, that, and the other. I think we should lead with the promise of everlasting life, because that's what Jesus did with Nicodemus and with the woman at the well.
Yeah, and his work on the cross paid for everyone's sins. So ultimately,
right.
we don't have a sin problem, we have a life problem.
We will rejoin in just a moment, but years ago, Zane Hodges wrote The Gospel Under Siege. Sadly, this is still true, and GES President Bob Wilkin has recently written its sequel. Bob's new book, The Gospel Is Still Under Siege, is a book about theological clarity on the biblical teaching about eternal salvation. It is available now. Secure yours today at the Grace Evangelical Society's bookstore. Find it at faithalone.org/store. That's faithalone.org/store. Now back to today's content.
Yeah, Lewis Berry Chafer said, using alliteration, we don't have a sin problem, we have a son problem.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't believe in the son, we don't have the life.
Mm-hmm.
And if we do believe in the son for what he promises, then we do have the life. So anyway, Taylor, this is a good question. I think it illustrates the fact that the bullseye, the center of the target, what we're aiming for in evangelism or in assurance, is believing in Jesus for what he promises, which is everlasting life. There may be lots of things that get me to believe that,
yeah.
like recognizing I'm a sinner, recognizing I have a need, or asking God to show me the saving message may be there. But no, if a person adds in other things, as long as they're not inconsistent with believing in Jesus for everlasting life, those things wouldn't somehow undo believing in him, right?
Right.
For everlasting
yeah,
life.
I mean, we do want to let people know other information, but it's always directed to getting them to believe that Jesus for his promise of everlasting life. That's why we tell them about the cross. That's why we tell them he walked on water. That's why we tell them he could never lie. Everything he's ever said is true.
So as long as a person is believing in Jesus for what he promises, then they have everlasting life. And thinking that something else is needed to get me there, that's not undoing believing in Jesus for the promise.
Right. Yeah. As long as that thinking doesn't contradict believing him for the promise. You know, I mean, we do want to tell people the other truths about Jesus, but it's ultimately to direct them to the saving truth.
Absolutely.
Right.
All right, I think we have time for one other question. Don't you have a question from Ron there?
Yeah, he's asking about, I guess, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, especially in the Old Testament. Has not fruitfulness in any and all ages been caused, enabled by the Holy Spirit? Did he not work just as effectively in their lives, I guess this would be Old Testament saints, as he does in the lives of church age believers? But in any age, if Job believers sought to walk with God, didn't the Spirit provide enablement just as effectively as in our age?
Yeah, that's a good question, Ron. And my answer would be he clearly provided enablement in every age. David is called a man after God's own heart. Abraham is called the friend of God, right? And there are lots of examples, like Hebrews 11 lists the Hebrew Hall of Faith or the Hall of Fame, where you've got all these Old Testament saints that were, you know, magnificent examples of people who were glorifying God. Moses is in that list, and there's a whole lot of people put in that list. And the question is, was the Holy Spirit just as effectively working in them as in us? That's hard to say. Do we have an advantage or a disadvantage? I mean, to some degree, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit has been with you. He will be in you. So we have permanent indwelling. They didn't have permanent indwelling. They had temporary indwelling and temporary enablement. But then again, we live in a really fallen world, more fallen, it seems to me, than when many of those Old Testament people were living. It seems like, was Sodom and Gomorrah, was that equal to, less than, or worse than today? I don't know. I mean, it seems like what we're living in today is, let me put it this way. I was born in 1952, so I grew up in the 50s and the 60s. I graduated from high school in 1970. I can tell you those times, as much as that was called the sexual revolution, it was nothing like the sexual revolution today. Today, we have things that were inconceivable when I was a teenager. And so I don't know if things are easier now or harder now than they were during the time of David or the time of Moses or the time of the intertestamental period. I don't know. But Ron's right. The Holy Spirit has always worked in the lives of believers.
But you're saying you've listed Moses, David. I guess Ron's asking, what about those believers that we don't see written? We can expect that the way God worked in Moses and David's life, he was working in other believers' lives in the Old Testament.
Absolutely. And people have always been able to be overcomers. Believers have always been able to please God. The Holy Spirit always made that possible. And so exactly when it's easier or harder, I don't know. I just see from Scripture that God gives believers of every age what we need to be pleasing to Him. And that's good news.
Yeah, and that way we can keep grace
in focus.
We would love to know where you are when you are listening to us. Please take a short minute to send us the call letters of this station and the city where you are listening and how many times a week you listen. Thank you. You will be helping us with our stewardship. Send it to radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can give, go to faithalone.org. On our next episode, hope you'll join us. To those who are free grace, advocate for just sharing the minimum when they are evangelizing. Let's talk about it. Until then, let's do keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.